Well, friends, as I said earlier today, we begin a brand new teaching focus for this month and for our stewardship season called Abundantly More. And I love that the stewardship themes kind of stay with us for an entire year. So in a way, this will be a theme that you'll hear echoed over and over again in the year 2025. I believe after being here in ministry for a little over 2 years, that God is indeed calling us onward, that God is beckoning us forward, that God promises to bring about abundantly more than we could ever ask or imagine. This theme comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, where in verse 20, Paul turns to doxology and says, "Now to him who is by the power at work within us, is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." So Paul believes that through God who works within, around, and among us, God produces abundantly more than even our imaginations can conceive. But how does God do this? That's where we're focusing over the next 4 weeks. Listen for the verbs in verses 14 through 19. "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of God's glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God." So over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at what it means to be strengthened, rooted, grounded, and filled with the love of God that surpasses all understanding. That's how we gain the resources to do abundantly far more than God could ever ask or imagine by his power at work within us. Today, I want to talk about what it means to be strengthened by the Spirit that God pours out upon all of us and pours within God's people. There's a couple of notable places in the Scripture where the strength of the Lord comes to play. The most notable for me is in the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah is cupbearer to the king. He has to taste all the king's food and drink before the king consumes it to see if it's poisoned. Then the cupbearer would die before the king, and the king would be saved. It's not the most glamorous of jobs, but that's what Nehemiah had. And he began to receive word from Jerusalem. This was a time of exile. The whole city lay in ruins. The wall was completely crumbled and fallen. There were a few who were living in the city, but it was completely exposed to attack from within. And Nehemiah felt a call from God to rebuild the walls of the city, to reestablish the faith of God's people. And so Nehemiah does what we do when we're in a place of utter weakness. We pray. Nehemiah prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And God gave him the courage to approach the king and say, "King, would you let me return to Jerusalem and rebuild the walls, so that my people, my ancestors, will have a place where they can practice their faith and live in security from the dangers of the surrounding nations?" And the king answered that prayer in ways that Nehemiah couldn't have even imagined. The king said, "Not only can you go and take people and rebuild the walls, but I'll even send you with the resources to do it. Now go." See, Nehemiah was strengthened through prayer and the Spirit of God that was poured out upon him to have that conversation with the king that could have led to his own death. And God answered that prayer through the king in ways that Nehemiah couldn't have even imagined. In Nehemiah chapter 8, the walls are rebuilt, and the people build a platform from which the word that hadn't been read in ages could be read out loud. And so all of the people gather, and the word is read. And the people begin to weep because they realize how far they had wandered from God. And Nehemiah says, "Do not weep, do not mourn, for today is a day that has been made holy to the Lord." He said, "Get up and celebrate. Listen, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Everybody say that. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You see that? Don't weep, don't mourn, don't look to the past and what's happened. Look in this present moment and look ahead. Now we have the word. Now we're putting it into practice in our life, and now we can celebrate because the what? The joy of the Lord is your strength. The second most notable use of the word strength in this concept of God strengthening us comes from Philippians in chapter 4. Paul is imprisoned and he's writing to this church in Philippi. And he's telling the church, don't lament for me. Thank you for sending a gift to support my work and my ministry. It's really encouraging and all of that. But he says, but don't worry about me. You're doing the work that God has called you to do. And even though I am in prison, I'm able to write to you. And he says this, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Everybody say that. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We can. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And where does this strength come from? Well, as our children taught us today and brought to mind, it comes through prayer. It comes from the encouragement from other Christians. It comes from reading and studying God's word like they did in Nehemiah. It comes from community, the work that we do together. We are all strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit that God pours out upon us and pours within us all. Now, earlier I said sometimes it's tempting for us in times that feel like scarcity reigns to stand and look backwards at everything that's been accomplished and think that there is no more work to do, that everything that is worth doing has already been done. But I'm here to tell you today that God has established us upon a strong foundation here at First Methodist Houston. We have been built upon the faith of those who have come before us. We have grown according to your faith that you have poured out. And I want you to say that even though things are not as we would want them to be, that God is not finished with us yet, that there is more work for us to do. There are people all around us who are in need of the gospel. And we have the words of the gospel implanted in our heart, don't we? We have the word of God in our hands. We're about to give our third graders Bibles so that they too can carry the word of God with them. The fields are ripe for the harvest. We need to pray that God would send laborers into the fields, right? And we can do the work that God's calling us to do through Christ who gives us strength. We could do it according to the joy that we find in the Lord. Sometimes a spirit of disappointment and disillusionment can take hold, almost a spirit of depression and fear, that we look around and we see what we once had is no longer present, and it can be discouraging. But when we stand on the strength and the joy of the Lord, we can look ahead and say, God is not finished with us yet. Everyone say, God is not done with us yet. God is not done with us yet. That's right. God has so much work for us to do. Will we be ready to do it? In our passage today from 2 Timothy, Paul's writing this young leader in the church that Paul has entrusted with leadership in the gospel. And Timothy is feeling discouraged because Paul is imprisoned. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy and says, look, I remember you constantly in my prayers. There it is again, prayer, right? Timothy, I'm praying for you. Be strengthened, find joy, night and day. He said, I recall your tears and I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. And look at this. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm sure lives in you. You see that faith of those who came before? It says, Timothy, you are faithful because your grandmother was faithful. And she taught the faith to your mom who was faithful. And your mom taught your faith to you. And now you are faithful as the example that has been provided to you. Look at us. We sit here today because of those who came before, the faith over 185 years of the history of our church. We are here to continue the ministry that has been entrusted to us. And we have everything we need for the work God's calling us to do. Listen to this. For this reason, Paul says, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. I remember I was leading a camp out with a college group that I was a part of directing. And one of my jobs was to get up early to make sure that we could cook breakfast and then get along with the lesson that we were going to do and the hike we were going to take. And I realized, you know, we had covered over the fire, but I got up to get the fire ready before everybody got up. And I found a couple of glowing embers at the bottom of the ashes. And so I was able to put some kindling on top of that and blow onto the fire and to get that kindling ignited. And then I put the firewood on there and it caught. And by the time everybody woke up, there was a fire ready to cook breakfast. Sometimes we need to fan the flame of the faith that is already present within us, but that is burned down to embers. That's where we are right now, I think, church. As we got this faith aglow in our hearts, we trust that God really can do things, but we don't know how God is going to do it. And so it's hard in these moments to have the faith. But my prayer for all of us is that we would fan into flame the faith that is already glowing within our hearts so that we might be strengthened to do the work that God has laid out before us. Look at this. Paul reminds Timothy of these words, "For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." Boy, if we had that spirit and we, with that spirit, went about the work of God, there would be no stopping the forward movement of the church. Amen? A spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. We've got to keep showing up, keep doing the work, even when it doesn't seem as fruitful as we had hoped. It's iterative. It starts small and it builds and it grows and it multiplies and it amplifies over time. And we can do it through a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I know that we can. Friends, when I look around this neighborhood that our campus is planted in, it didn't develop in the ways that people had planned. I'm reminded this last week, it was the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. The evacuees who came and settled right around us after that hurricane fundamentally transformed the way in which this neighborhood developed. And we built just a few years before that happened. The church, the neighborhood that we built for, never materialized around us. It is different than we had planned. But I want you to know this. We might have intended a purpose when we came out here, but God knew what would develop. God knew how things would materialize. And I believe God planted us here in this place for this time for something even greater than we could have even envisioned at the time we were building these buildings. I believe that with all of my heart. There are people all around us. I read just this week, right north of Bel Air Boulevard in Rogerdale, there's a 70-acre mixed-use development coming in, 2,100 housing units, retail, restaurants. They're going to break ground in 2025. Those are 2,100 times however many, 2, 3, 4, who are going to inhabit those condos and apartments that aren't here currently. Friends, God is bringing the city to us, and we have to go to the city in order to reach them with the good news of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I have hope for our future, for we can do all things through whom? Through Christ, who gives us strength. And when we feel down, when we feel discouraged, we can look to the Word of God, we can look to the future, because what? The joy of the Lord is our strength. We're going to sit with a hymn text all of this series, Faith While Trees Are Still in Blossom. It's how we're going to begin every service. And I want to end with the first verse here by reading it to you, because I believe this is our prayer in this season. Faith, while trees are still in blossom, plans the picking of the fruit. Faith can feel the thrill of harvest when the buds begin to sprout. Friends, the fruit has not yet fully grown on the trees, but the buds are already appearing. And we know that God has planned a harvest, and we can begin to plan with God's help for the harvest that is yet to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.